And good morning, everybody. We're just tickled to be here. You know, a couple years back, Darren, you might remember it, I was invited to speak one Sunday night. And just about the time I got up here to the microphone, come this awful scream, followed by a terrible crying. And first thing I thought was, hey, they done heard me speak before. But it turned out it was a baby gotten pinched, so everything was good. And this morning, I don't see it happening since we're having a live stream. It was just two or three of us here. This morning, as Darren said, due to the ongoing virus, the elders has chosen to not have anyone in the building, as the governor has requested. But you know, I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking how God has blessed us again by giving us this technology that we can be together and study His Word, even with such as this going on. Yes, we are truly blessed. Like I said, a couple of years ago, I was invited here, and I delivered this sermon. A couple of the elders had commented they wished I would have done it or could have done it during a morning service. So I thought, right now might be a good time. Now, of course, now it was written as if we had a house full of people. But we don't have that today. But yet we are gathered together. May not be in this building, but we are gathered together. The Lord has seen to make sure that happens. Today I want to pose the question, why are we here today? Why have we gathered today? Could our answer simply be because, hey, it's Sunday. I go to church every Sunday. You know, and some of our young people might say, hey, mama maybe come. And I'm sure we're going to have some answers. I've come to worship, to study, and to give praises to God. If that be the case, are we doing a good job of it? By coming together today, have we put a smile on God's face? Or does our presence have him scratching his head and asking himself, do I know them? I asked again, why are we here today? Why have we gathered together? You know, like I said, some go say, well, we come to worship. My question is, are we here standing alone? Or have we come as a team player? Yes, a team player, so to speak. When we walk through those doors, do we come to participate? You know, I hope you notice that I use the word we a lot. That's because not only am I speaking to you, but I'm speaking to the three of us, me, myself, and I. And I feel like these questions are things that we all need to be asking ourselves. Now, I'll tell you this too. Now, if toes seem to get stepped on, trust me, mine will be the first in line. Because everything I say fits me. A team player, I said. Are we here as a team player? Do we come to participate? Do we really get involved? Or are we what one might deem a pew squatter? Yes, a pew squatter. Now, I just made that up. But then, what else do you call someone who comes in, sits, never open a song book, never sings, never opens their Bible, even if they brought one, never reads along, bows their head during prayer, but never really truly listens, or even thinks about being said, and mostly just waiting for that amen at the end. And last but not least, they never join in the service, leading prayer or serving at the table or whatever. A pew squatter. What are they if not the person I just described? You know, this morning, have we come as pew squatters? Or are we here as a team player? When it comes to the sermon, the lesson of the day, and especially the prayers, if we were to be stopped by someone later and quizzed on just what was said, could we give an honest answer? You know, I'll be honest, that's something I struggle with. And I need to try harder at grasping those words that said during service. Why are we here today? Today, are we excited to be here? I'm not asking for a show of hands. I couldn't see them anyway. But are we excited to be gathered together with other members of His family? Do we who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, do we recall that feeling we got when the preacher or whoever pulled us up out of the water that day? Do we tingle all over at the very mention of God? When we think of Christ being our Savior, do we still have that ear-to-ear smile on our face when we think of Christ being with us? And more so, do others see that look on our face? If not, why not? What has happened? Jesus is the same today as it was yesterday and be the same tomorrow. If we no longer have that exciting feeling, what has happened? We need to work on getting it back. Whether we do it through study, through prayer, or just simply open our eyes and counting our many blessings, we need to get that feeling back. You know, sadly, some of us come through the doors and, oh, they smiling and shaking hands with a few people, and they look so happy to be here, only to take a seat. Have the parents are sleeping with their eyes open. You know, we're like kids in school waiting on the recess bell to ring, waiting on the sermon to be over, waiting on that final amen. I pray most of us are not like that. What about singing? How many of us are like a ventriloquist? And where the only difference between us and them are, they have their mouth closed, yet words still come out. But we don't. Why is it we can get in our car and go somewhere and we sing along with the radio, but we can't sing when we're here? You know, God doesn't care whether we're on key or not. He just doesn't. Why are we not all singing? Ephesians 5 verses 18 and 19. I'm going to start mid-verse here. It says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and make melody in your heart to the Lord. Making melody in your heart doesn't say a word about us being on key. Here's one reason I say we should be singing. And y'all know the song. It says, sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust Him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise Him in song. Sing and be happy today. Folks, we need to have our lips moving. We need to be singing praises to God. Whether we're on key or just can't sing or whatever, God doesn't care. He just wants to hear us. You know, I've been there. Some of you have been there. We've all been to services where they remind me of my youth and attending a funeral. When I'm 68 years old, so I go back a ways. Some of y'all go back further. But back then, when you attended a funeral, you'd go in, you'd speak to the one that lost their loved one, then you'd take a seat. Never say another word. Never hear another word spoken. You could actually hear that pin drop that we so often talk about. But no longer are our funerals that way. Today we mourn the loss, but we celebrate the life they had. We view videos and we share stories and we visit with each other. We learn about the people and share all these tales. Now, I'm not saying we all need to jump up in the aisles and start dancing and different things. But our worship service should be no different than the funeral we attend. Worship should be a celebration of the life of Christ and the life that we can receive through Him. You know, we should mourn His death, Yet we need to be celebrating His resurrection by singing and giving praises to God our Father. And while we're doing that, we need to be studying and learning from His Word on just what we need to be doing to obtain that everlasting life that God has promised us. You know, I keep using the word worship service. But what we're doing here is not service. We come here to learn, to sing, give praises. Service is what we, and I do mean we, should be doing outside these walls. Visiting the sick, helping folks, teaching, and spreading the word. Mark 16, verse 15 says, He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now some of you might say, "Hey Woody, now I can't do like you do. I can't do like Mike does. I can't stand up there and do it." Well, God doesn't ask us to stand in the pulpit. And He doesn't require us all to have a degree on the Bible. He just wants us out sharing His Word. Well, then some people go say, "Well, hey, you know, I can't afford to travel the world over." Maybe your world is just Tennessee or just Kentucky or just Texas. May just be Hickman County. May just be city limits of Centerville. Or it may just be the street you live on. There are people that need God. They need to know that He exists. We need to be there for them. You never know when the simplest things come from you might be the one thing that leads someone to God. We must be there for them. Again, why are we here today? Let's talk about prayer for a moment. You know, prayer is and has always been important. Even Jesus, God's own Son, prayed. Mark 1, verse 35 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went to a solitary place where He prayed." Where He prayed. You know, how often do we do this? Really, how often do we talk to God? Sure enough, you let something happen, and we go off running, talking to Him, asking for His help. But do we talk to God on a regular basis? You know, we have the habit, us with children or grandchildren, we like to tell them, "Hey, don't forget your night prayers." But do we follow our own advice? Do we go to God in prayer each night? What about the mornings? Do we get up in the morning thanking God for allowing us to wake up and be part of His day? You know, sometimes I think as adults that maybe we just don't understand prayer. Back in 2003, Darren said something about me being a poet. I wrote this poem. It's about this old cowboy named Bill and how he was like it. But through the years, he came to understand. I titled the poem "That Fateful Day." I want to share with you a few words that Bill had to say to God. Bill said, Lord, he said, "It's old Bill here. I know it's been quite a while. I used to think it praying. Well, it praying just weren't my style. Somehow I've always had the notion to pray you to ask me for favors and such, so I never got into the habit. Always seemed to have so much. Then the other day I got to thinking how you bless me every day. That even through the hardest times, you never once did stray." Are we like Bill? That we just don't think it's our style to pray? And just never got into the habit? You know, I'm speaking for myself, being a man. We have our own issues a lot of times. And sometimes I think that we as men just think we're too macho to pray. You know, we don't need to be doing stuff like that. But we do. You know, God made man head of the household. We are to be leaders of our family. Praying is one of the many things we fall short of. I have no idea what men do at home. And what I'm about to say don't fit everybody for sure. But we have many men who do step up and lead prayer and worship service. Yet there are those that won't. And notice I said won't. It's not that they just don't. They can be asked, they just won't. They're not the team player that I spoke of. Now I'm sure, and I've been there, some of it caused stage fright. You know, they just make them nervous to stand up here in front of 10 or 1,000 people. Don't make any difference. But you know, the ones that really gets me are the ones who are so involved outside of church. And I don't mean pick on certain ones, but, you know, ball coaches, civic leaders, club presidents, and even times those in government, just to list a few. They won't lead in prayer and won't serve at the table and just don't really get involved. Yet they are so involved outside of the church. If this happened to be you, let me remind you that when you're praying, you're talking to God. And then when you're in the building, congregation, that you're surrounded by family. So, really, give it a try. If it does make you a little nervous, it'll get better, trust me. Like I say, we have men everywhere that aren't that team player. But now I want to go a little bit further. We have ladies that wear those shoes too. You know, some of them, they never volunteer. Never volunteer to help. They refuse to teach. And even their lips don't move in song either. Folks, when it comes to serving, it's not about a choice few. It's about us all. Why are we here today? Now, earlier I mentioned the service that we should be doing. I wonder if the next time we was able to come together, if after the service, if someone handed us a form and told us, God wants you to fill out this form and list everything you do this coming week to help others. And not just things we do, things that we know that God would want us to be doing. I wonder how many of us would come back next week with a full list. A full list to show. And just how many of us would skip next Sunday because we're afraid they're going to take up that paper. We are to serve others and use whatever talent God has given us to use. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. Peter said, whatever you have received. He didn't say whatever the preacher had or elders had or the deacons had received. He said, each of you. You know, far too often, we as members of the church, we want to lay everything off on the preacher or the others I spoke of. And if you believe that, I wish you'd contact me and show me chapter and verse. Because I've never found it. It is up to us to do it. And when it comes to gifts, now these gifts are not just the gift to speak, not just the gift to really say a beautiful prayer, or maybe to teach. You know, maybe you're a carpenter, a bricklayer, a cook, a landscaper, a painter, someone who sits with the elderly, or somebody sits with the sick, or maybe somebody babysits. God has blessed us all with a talent. It could be as simple as just going by picking up somebody's grocery for a sick or shut-in, or taking somebody to the doctor, it can't drive. The list is endless. Use the talent God has given you. You know, our salvation depends on many things. And it's, our salvation is up to us. You know, the best sermon in the world won't get us through the gates of heaven. It's all these things I've spoken of and the many, many more. And it's all in the book. His book, the Bible. Why are we here today? Have we come as a pew squatter? Or have we come as a worker for the Lord? It's time that we set our priorities. It's time that we start serving, teaching, visiting, singing, leading prayer, giving up our time for others, and for sure giving back a portion of what we have received, giving it back to God. Now, I rarely ever mention money in a lesson, but giving back is something that we're told to do as well. And we must let our hearts guide us on just what it is we give back. Well, now we're in troubled times. There's a lot of people not working. So we can expect things. But you know, as I was writing this, I thought about the times that I should have or really could have given more, choosing to only put a few dollars in the plate. Then after services, I get in the car and I go to the local Old Charlie's or Logan's and buy the biggest steak you got. You know, we need to get our priorities right. Whether it's time, dollars, using our talent, singing or praying or just whatever it may be, we need to do the right thing. We need to follow the way God wishes. The way God wishes for us to go. So again, I asked you, why are we here today? You know, each and every time we come together, we offer up an invitation. Maybe you haven't taken on Christ as your Savior. Hadn't asked for forgiveness. Hadn't been baptized. Now is the time. Or maybe you have. But you slipped away. And you feel that you need to get set things back right with God. You know, when I do this, I always like to throw in too that maybe there's that somebody that you know that we need to all be praying for. I have a son-in-law that's in the hospital now. And I tell you, with Facebook and everything else, we are truly blessed with the prayers he's been receiving and our family has. I'm a firm believer in prayers. Firm believer in the number of prayers. So this morning, you know, usually we would say, you know, if you have anything touching you like that, that if you will, come as we stand and sing. This morning we can't do that because we're together, but yet we're separated. We're all at home. But any of this touches you, you feel the need to be baptized. You feel the need to come back to the Lord. You feel the need for prayers. Call the church, 729-5142. And you can get the elders extension 14, 15, or 24. Again, that number is 729. Well, let me change it. We're going to give you the area code too. Area code 931-729-5142. Somebody will be there to help fill your needs. Again, I asked you this morning, why are we here today? only you and I know for sure. And we need to be asking ourselves these questions.